Good morning at Providence Presbyterian Church, and we are happy to have you here today. And as we expect hot weather, but thanks to God, I think the weather is a lot better this week, so that's good. So we'd like to welcome you all here to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. And if you are a visitor, please just look around for the pads and write your name and tell us about yourself, and we would love to be in touch with you. And now it's time for announcements, and if you just open your bulletin, and you will find a blank sheet about the interim study committee. Open your bulletin, and inside the bulletin you'll find a blank sheet. It said for the interim study committee, thoughts, comments, concerns, or question about the next pastoral leadership of Providence Presbyterian Church. The reason behind this is we know not everybody able to attend one of our meetings or know what's happening with the interim study committee or being able to read and go through the survey. So this is a chance will be available until the end of July. You will have this in the bulletin so you can write whatever. If you really have any thoughts, any idea, you are concerned how to say it, how to share it, this is your chance. You can say whatever in your heart, in your minds. We will not be insulted by it, okay? We want to know. That's the bottom line. We really want to know how you think and how can you help us to move forward. So take your time after worship and we have a drop-in box here. And would leave it here or in the back of the church? Whatever. Okay, so we'll leave it back. So after you're done with that, and this is not the only chance. I said the invitation will be open until the end of July. Thank you, Sally, for making us this wonderful box. Today we had a Bible study, and believe Jerison was the leader, so we thank God for that. And it's a reminder for all of us, at 9 a.m. every Sunday, we have a Bible study led by Kathy Cooper and Jerison, and we thank them for their wonderful effort. We'll have a coffee fellowship after worship in the Hope Room. On Monday, July 15th, the book group discussion at the Harrison family. Eben Alexander, Proof of Heaven. Tuesday, July 16, the 10 a.m. Blake Group study, and I think Gina will tell us about the barbecue.
For those of you interested, the playgroup study is just wrapping up a book called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. We've moved to Tuesdays at 10 a.m. And we are finishing the book this coming Tuesday. But we will continue throughout the summer. And we are going to be studying a new book called Help, Thanks, Well by Anne Lamott. So if any of you are interested, you're welcome to bring your kids. We do have some childcare help available as well. And I'm going to switch on. Also, on Tuesday nights, we have our summer barbecues. We had our first one last Tuesday, and we had a great turnout, and the weather cooperated. So thankfully, we had a wonderful time of fellowship together. We still need co-hosts for the remaining Tuesdays in the summer. We have a wonderful family co-hosting for Tuesday, the family of Ives Street, some of the college students here. They are going to be co-hosting this coming Tuesday. It's very simple to co-host. All you need to do is bring some lettuce, tomatoes, and onions, and some ice, and you basically help set up and take turns grilling, and that's about it. So very simple to co-host. You can team up with another family, other people to do it together. So if you are interested in co-hosting so that we can continue these barbecues throughout the summer, please see me or Sally Lockhart. There's also a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other announcements?
The 20s, 30s group is going on a hike next Saturday. So if you are interested in joining us for a picnic lunch and then a hike and didn't get the e-vite, please come and see me during coffee hour.
Is the young one or the one with the...
Anybody.
Anybody, okay. Okay.
Jenny just fed into something. While the 20s and 30s are out hiking and having lunch, I need some of us older folks to come down to Camp Street and help with the, if you've never been to Camp Street, come and just see. It's not rocket science. It's helping load groceries into the shelves and then helping people around. I won't be there, so I'm lining up people ahead. Okay, Jim Lockhart? Yes, I see you. Good.
And now let us continue our worship. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And with God's invitation, we come to God's heart to worship and to sing hymn number 466.
Thank you.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon us. We come to the Lord to confess our sins and to share with the depth of our hearts what's troubling or what's really guiding us in this morning. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, we are meant to praise you and give thanks to you always. We confess that we do not live out of constant gratitude. We harbor resentment for what we lack. We blame you, we blame others. We doubt your compassion, even your power. We find it hard to give ourselves away to you or to others, in generous expressions of gratitude and praise. Forgive us, we pray, for attitude and behaviors that diminish in us our joyful thanksgiving. Heal and restore us so that we may return to you with a right spirit. Help us to live holy and joyful lives, befitting people you love and save. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And the sign of confession number 2019, holy. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in his eternal life. Amen.
Lovely to have a big choir, isn't it? We come to the time in our service when we share together our joys and concerns. So what would we share with one another this morning?
You know, because we are so much of a family, whenever any one of us is gone, we sort of wonder where they are. And Lee and Monica Vanderbond are in the air flying. So at this moment, I would ask for prayers for their safe journey. They're going to Nicaragua to see their child and their grandchildren.
For Monica and Lee. I'll be there in a minute.
I have a joy. My great-great-grandson, Benjamin, arrived with a bang on the 4th of July. Now, this is the second time in this branch of the family that we've had a picture of five generations to share. It's been a joy.
Great celebration. Benjamin's birth. A 4th of July baby. Ready, Eliza?
My birthday was on Thursday. I'm turning 6.
Eliza's 6th birthday. We celebrate that. It was a joy yesterday. We hosted the Presbyterian Self-Development of People Committee here and held a workshop for various groups that were looking into possible funding. But we also did a site visit to the Olneyville Neighborhood Association. They had applied for a grant. And it was just a joy. I ran into Gladys Gould, for all of those of you that know her. So that was a huge surprise. But just continued prayers for the Self-Development of People and all the work that they do, committees, but also for the Olneyville Neighborhood Association and immigration reform. They continue to just work really hard at helping undocumented immigrants and lots of various ways, and they're continuing to do that work with help of the Presbyterian Church. I'd also like a prayer for Stephanie Shaw. Some of you may know her. Her mother was diagnosed, I think, with a brain tumor, and she's also expecting their second baby. And so there's a joy there, but also just her mom's diagnosis is not good at all. So prayers for her family.
So prayers for Stephanie, joy and concern.
Would ask for prayers for Michael Prewitt. Michael was the former interim redevelopment pastor at Calvin Church in Cumberland. He had surgery to remove a brain tumor this last week.
I'd like prayers for Melinda Brailsford, who isn't here today, and also for Nisi, who sit right there. And also continued prayers. Was a joy. My brother in Pennsylvania is doing very well. But I'd also like continued prayers for him. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm coming around. Over this way first. In here, right? Where?
Here you go. We have a joy. It's bittersweet. John and I would like to thank God that I have gotten a job in Worcester, Ohio, which is in Northeast Ohio, at our alma mater, the College of Worcester, which is associated with the Presbyterian Church. We are really sad that we're leaving PPC. It's far and wide the best thing that has happened to us while we've been in Providence. We moved here knowing nobody, and we're leaving with a family, so we thank God for that.
Mid to late August.
Carmen Rivera lost her grandmother, who basically acted as her mother, raising her, and the funeral will be this week at some time. So keep Carmen and her family in prayer.
Prayers for Carmen Rivera and her family, the loss of her grandmother.
It's been 3 months now. I've been quiet and quiet as a mouse, which is rare. I'm always talking. But this is the joy, and the joy indeed. At the end of March, I had pain in my body. After seeing 6 different doctors, I was diagnosed with arthritis, especially my right side of the body. Foot, knee, elbow. And there is nothing more personal, I believe, than pain. My pain is mine. So personal, so mine that sometimes I cannot describe it. And believe it or not, in the last 4 days, I haven't had any pain. I know this church has been praying for me. I've been under the same medication. But in the last 4 days, no pain at all. Thank you, church. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Gerson.
I'd like to thank you for praying for my brother, Joe, and his wife, Corinne, who lost their baby in early second trimester. They're doing fine, and praise God that God kept Corinne safe. There was some anxiety over her health involving the miscarriage. And thank you for praying for all the changes they've been going through, a move and a new job. And we praise God for that new job, too, because Joe loves it, and they're doing well. They're healing. Thank you for your prayers.
I'm going to go to the back first and then work my way up, okay?
It's been 5 months since we finally submitted our paperwork in Kenya for Ashley's adoption, and our paperwork was stalled, was not moving anywhere, and there's a slight movement now, and we want to thank God for that. We still do not have a court date. We have a lawyer working for us in Kenya and continue to pray that we will have a date set for us and an approval. Also praying for Ashley, who is wondering, are you coming? Every time I talk to her, she says, are you coming this month? Are you coming this week? Continued prayer for her and for us as we wait. Thank you.
Alice, right?
Some of you know that my parents are missionaries and I grew up in Vietnam. And this Tuesday, I have a chance to go back for the first time since I was 13. So I'd ask you to pray for my journey, my fun and strange journey back. Thanks.
It was a great joy to have so many people sing with us this morning, and we're ready to sign any of you up. There's a lot more power in the wonderful voices that we had this morning. Prayers for our farmers. We're facing another week of 90-degree temperatures. A lot of you know that my daughter works on a farm out in Johnston, and on harvest days, they put in about 12 hours. It's very, very hard work, and they're bringing us all the beautiful vegetables that we eat to farmers market, and it's very hard work, but it's God's work. And the second prayer I have is for my daughter Carmen, who's going to be turning 30 next Sunday. We didn't think she was going to live through a week when she was born, and now she's turning 30. And Her dad is taking her to Disney World to celebrate. They're going down on the train next Sunday morning, and then his wife and stepson are going to be planing it down and joining them. So I pray for their week, that they'll have a very good week together. And as soon as she's gone, I'm going to be working on her room and trying to transfer her to another room, because I never get a chance to do any work in there because she's always in her room. So prayers for me for next week also, that I can get this work done and she'll like it.
Prayers for cleaning.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. He started on a new medication this week, so let's hope it works. I'd also like prayers for my grandson, Mason Sanford, who will be 16 in August and is experiencing depression.
And as we're thinking about the heat, I'd also like prayers for everybody for whom this heat is oppressive and a problem, those who are very young and very old especially.
Michael and I would like to ask for prayers for travel mercies for Brian and Chris and Dan, who are on their way to West Virginia for the National Boy Scout Jamboree at a high adventure camp there. They'll be gone for 2 weeks, and we'll also pray that Michael will be able to survive 2 weeks of scrutiny without being deluded by attention to his brothers for that time. But I do appreciate the one-on-one time.
Just wrapping things up, I want to ask for your prayers. I have an interview on Tuesday, and also this coming weekend, Lucy and Susan will be traveling for a family reunion to Texas, and Hugo and I will be following on Tuesday. So some travel mercies for them and for us, and some Hugo mercies for me in the intermittent. Thank you.
And prayers for God's grace in the job interview as well. Thanks for sharing that, Mark. Where else are we? Oh, Elena.
I would like to thank everybody for praying for my mother-in-law. It took us more than 2 months to bring her home, so finally she's home. And please continue prayer for her speedy recovery. She's much better. Thank you.
A celebration, truly. She's home. Yes. Yeah. It's been a long haul.
I want also, before I start the prayer, to share good news about Irene Prodrick, who delivered her baby on July 11th, Aiden, 8 pounds and 11-inch, healthy baby, healthy mom. The family is doing good, and we thank God for that. So pray for them for more rest during this hard time. Let's start our prayer. We thank you, God, for this time where we can come to you and express our feeling with no fear and no anxiety. And we thank you, God, while we run away from a lot of things in the world, we find your door that open widely to calm us and to listen to our needs. And today, as we come to you with all our humanity that makes reality between joys and concern, we thank you for all these to remind us, because you are the God of joy, and also you are the God of comfort when we go through a hard time. We pray to express our thanks to your good works in the world and among your people all over, and especially at PBC. We thank you for Irene and Ryan and for the delivery of their baby, and we thank you for everything, and we know you will be with them through this time and take them to a better place. We praise you for the safe delivery and healthy baby, as we pray to strengthen the family and give them the rest they need. We thank you for the Lee and Monica, and we know they are planning their trip, and to be with them and give them a safe journey and safe trip and good time with their family. We thank you, God, for Alice's journey and reconnected to part of her life to go back to Vietnam and to see new things. We pray for safety, and we pray for a lot of enlightenment and thinking to learn and to come and share with us. And we thank you, God, as we heard from Megan about her new job. We are happy to hear this news, and we know you will provide a place, spiritual place for them too, where they can worship and where they can see your spirit wherever they move. We thank you for Carmen as was her life, as being in her 30s. And we thank you because you are the God of joy and the God of comfort and the God of even behind our expectation. We pray for her time with her dad and to give her a wonderful time. We thank you, God. We cannot thank you enough for Gladys Away and for her daughter Angelina, who got her visa last week. We thank you for this big step, and we keep praying for them to be with them until she is here and we all can celebrate the United Family together. We thank you for Pastor David and Caldi and for being here with us today. We thank you for Heather Spader as she keeps doing good and we are listening to all this good news. And we pray for David to be with him. We thank you as we heard about Ashley, even if things moving sometimes slowly, but we know you are the one who can provide care to us and can give us the patience we need. Help us to see every step as part of your will in our life. We thank you for Vivian as she is fully recovered from her surgery, and we pray for her family, and we pray for her safe return to her job. We thank you for Marilyn Greed Grant's son, and we pray, God, to keep the connection and to celebrate as with two joys to be born on the 4th of July. We pray for the family, and we pray for everybody who really to remember the life of a new life. We thank you for Eliza's birthday and the 6th birthday, and we pray for blessing for the Chance family and to give them joy all their life and to be with them. We thank you for the Presbyterian self-development that was here, used our facility and to enlighten people, to tell them about the possibility of being really fine opportunity. And we thank you for the news we heard from Gerson of no pain the last 4 days. And we thank you because we know you will be with us even when pain appeared again. We thank you as you remind us we are comforted by your promise that you will be with us all the time and in every situation. So we know that you are not far from people who call you from their deep heart and with their deep, desperate need to you to heal through your hand and to comfort them. And especially we bring Carmen Rivera as she lost her grandmother. We pray for the whole family, for strength and comfort for everybody. Bring them close to your heart and hold them together, God. And we pray for Mary Kinwes. Her grandmother passed away last week. We pray for the whole family for comfort and strength. And we pray, as we heard from Marianne today, for her brother Joe and his wife Corinne. We thank you, God, even if it's a sad news about the miscarriage. But we thank you, we know the mother is doing better and they cannot stay together and listen to your voice and see the light of your love and hope. We pray for farmers who are going through a hard time this season by working in a very harsh weather or even their crops being at really risk with this hot weather. Be with them and support them and bless the work of their hands. We pray for peace all over the world and we pray for violence to stop everywhere. We pray for people to protest safely in Egypt and Syria and Turkey. We pray for justice for everybody. We pray for Jeannie's nephew, Jeff, to be with him and bless him and give strength to the whole family. We pray for Walter to be with him and give him strength and healing. As we thank you, God, for Judy's grandson, and be with the whole family. We thank you for everybody and for every prayers we heard today. We pray especially for Melinda and Denise, and we pray also for Jeff, for Julie's brother. We pray for James, Julie's brother, to be with him and keep providing healing for the whole family. We ask you for Michael, who goes through the surgery, to be God with him and to give him strength and healing. We pray for those who are seeking permanent work in our congregation and all over the world. And we pray for Mark interview to be with him and guide him and be in front of his steps. And we pray for the whole family. We pray for the summer mission trip in Philadelphia, for our church, for everybody who's going to this trip, to be with them and give them a new way to see your work among our community. We pray for Pastor Chris on her journey in this sabbatical time and for the whole family. We thank you, God, for Elena's mother-in-law, Camilla, and we keep praying for more healing and more clarity. We pray for the interim study process. We thank you, God, for the reviewing of most of our survey. And we thank you for the meetings of our congregations to come together to think hard and reflect on your will and see your vision for the future, not only for us, but also for our kids. And we pray for all this church to be in your hand. Guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remind us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Invite the boys and girls to join me up front. I'm happy to see you. I missed you last week. Do you know why I missed you last week? Because I was in a church where there were no children. Oops, I know. What? So I want to tell you a story right now. Maybe Eileen's mommy can have a seat. There we go. So I want to tell you a story right now about Eileen's mommy. But before I do that, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Take in a deep breath. Blow it out. Just be quiet for a moment. All right. When Eileen's mommy was a little girl, I took her to swimming lessons. Has anybody here taken swimming lessons? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, so sometimes when you're right at the beginning of swimming lessons, it can be a little scary. Isn't that true? Yeah? Yeah, it sure can. Okay, so here's the thing. Meg's mommy was taking swimming lessons, and her teacher said she had to dive into the pool. And so one week came, and all the other kids dove into the pool, but not Meg. And another week came, and all the kids dove into the pool, but not Meg. And I don't know how many weeks it was, several. But Meg couldn't dive into the pool because she was scared. So this is what happened. Her teacher said to her, next week, if you dive into the pool, I will jump into the pool after you with all my clothes on. And you know what? Meg trusted him, knew that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. She really wanted to see that. So the next week, when swimming lessons came, Meg was really brave, and she dove into the pool, and guess what happened? He jumped in with all of his clothes on, even his whistle, and he was very wet. So sometimes, when we need to be brave, it's helpful to know that there's somebody we can trust. Our teacher, maybe mom, maybe dad, but when you're scared and you need some help, it's good to know that you can trust someone, right? Right? So Eileen's mommy trusted her swimming teacher. Sometimes we trust mom and dad. And this morning I want you to think about the fact that God is like that teacher, is like mom, is like dad. God is someone we can rely on when we feel afraid, when we're scared, when we need to be brave. So the next time, I don't know if it's going to happen at swimming lessons, but the next time you feel like you need to be brave, close your eyes, take a deep breath, say a little prayer, and know that God will be with you. All right? So pray with me. I'll pray first, you respond. Dear God, we give you thanks that when we are scared, you help us to be brave. Amen. Now, if you're 3, 4, 5 in kindergarten, first, second, or third grade, you may go downstairs. Or you could go right back to mom and dad. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you can go downstairs.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is in the small hymnal, number 2222, the Servant Song.
Thank you.
This past week, I had the opportunity to swim in two very different places. The first was in the clear, clean water of a swimming pool, and the second was in the murky waters of the Gulf. Turns out, I vastly prefer to swim where I can see the bottom and know where my foot is going next. It makes me really uncomfortable to walk into muddy waters that obscure those steps. Go figure. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may your word to us this morning provide clarity, understanding, and courage. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Life has taught me that it takes greater courage to step into the muddy waters of the unknown than it does to walk on a path that's clearly visible. I often hear people say, "Trust God." I say it myself, but it's not always that easy to do. I met John last week when I was in St. Petersburg. He greeted my work team warmly when we arrived at St. Vincent de Paul's thrift shop. And then he provided our orientation, explaining to us the mission and work of the thrift store. John asked us where we were from. He wanted to know why we had come from Hartford to St. Petersburg. Then he told us his story. A few years ago, John had been in an upper management position at Home Depot. He'd had a lovely home and a comfortable lifestyle. Then he was downsized out of a job. After a long and unsuccessful job search, during which he heard that he had too much experience, too little experience, the wrong experience, and that he was too expensive to hire, he hit the wall. Frustrated and financially in bad shape, John took the job as the assistant manager of the thrift shop. During our time working there, he told us repeatedly that now he hears more thank yous and God bless yous than he does curses. He said that even though he had to give up his former lifestyle and was pinching pennies every day, he sleeps like a baby at night and wakes up happy to go to work in the morning. In the murky waters of an uncertain future, John managed to find a precious gem of wisdom. Deep satisfaction can be found in providing for those who are in greater need than you are. It takes a great deal of courage to let go of expectations and continue searching when things look hopeless. That kind of courage doesn't come from relying on our own abilities. It comes from trusting in God's grace. But jewels of promise are often found in the river of change. According to the Old Testament, Naaman had it all together. He was a successful commander in the army, favored by his king, the king of Aram. He had power, possessions, and was greatly respected because of his military success. But Naaman had a significant problem. He was a leper. He had tried everything, but the skin disease persisted. After hearing from a slave girl that there was a prophet in Samaria who might be able to help him, Naaman set out, laden with gifts, to find that prophet. The journey didn't go the way the commander had expected it to, and the solution that the prophet Elisha offered didn't seem like a solution at all. Why would Naaman want to enter the muddy waters of the Jordan River when the rivers back home were so much nicer and cleaner? Naaman had to swallow his pride and enter those muddy waters. But when he did, he received a gift, of a gift of inestimable value, the golden glow of healthy skin. That kind of courage, the kind that Naaman showed, doesn't come from relying on our own resources. It comes when we trust in God's grace. It takes courage to trust the guidance of other people. Bob is the head of housekeeping at the Salvation Army shelter in St. Petersburg. He supervises volunteers from the community, often local teens who are working toward college scholarships. It's a program that the state of Florida has. Bob clearly loves kids. He spent time while we were on our breaks telling us jokes and teaching my teens magic tricks. While we organized the shelves in a storeroom at the shelter, Bob shared his story with us. He said that he used to earn $2.5 million a year. He told us that Jimmy Buffett had once played at a party on his yacht. Then he shook his head, and looking the kids in the eye, he said, "But I was bad. I was a really bad man." You see, Bob had earned his money running first drugs and then guns from South America into Florida. Eventually, he got involved in human trafficking, bringing girls of the same age as the ones I was working with over to America on his boat. I asked Bob how he wound up working for the Salvation Army in St. Petersburg. He shook his head. "I did not want to go back there. 15 years in jail is a long time. I just couldn't go back there again. So when I got out, I looked for a legitimate job. But no one would hire an ex-con. And then AARP, because I was 63, took a chance on me. They went to bat for me, and they got me this job here." In the murky waters of incarceration, Bob had found a precious jewel, his moral compass. Bob now believes that true freedom isn't found in doing whatever you want. It's found when one chooses a life of service to others. It took courage for Bob to look at his past glories, and he's still talking about them, right? He told us. And to question his own motivation. That kind of courage doesn't come from relying on our own resources. It comes when we rely on God's grace. Sometimes gems of wisdom are found in the muddy waters of questioning. Some of life's most precious jewels are found in muddy waters. In times of challenge or trial or illness, or even when we hit the wall, as both John and Bob discovered. It was true for those individuals, and it's true for groups of people as well. It's true for families, for churches, it's true for our presbytery, our denomination, and maybe even our world. Sometimes in order to find pearls of wisdom, gems of hope and healing, we have to enter the uncertainty of those muddy waters. I'd like to read you a story. This is a story by a pastor friend of mine whose name is Chris Shelton. He's the pastor of Broadway Presbyterian Church in New York City. It's called A Bath in the Muddy Waters. Once upon a time, there was a wonderful gathering of people, caring people, loving people, committed and sometimes stubborn people. They loved each other deeply and had seen each other through many hard times. They had stood strong for each other and with each other, and the love connected them flowed deep. They were a people who worshiped God and had fought long and hard to provide a place of worship in their town. They had seen their community through hard times too, through fires, through wars, through struggles far and near. And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Having fought so long and struggled on their journey together for some time, they'd become a proud people, proud to have made it so far in their struggles. Now, as it happened during one season, that community of loving people experienced a new struggle. They had been through hard times before, and so they rallied around each other and held each other together. With each passing season, however, the struggle deepened, and more struggles came along, and soon the people were torn. What to do? And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Questions come and go, but there are some that linger like a bad itch. The questions they faced were that kind, and oh, how they longed to be rid of the itch of those questions. How they had tried to scratch them in the same old way they always had, how they longed to use the old medicine and stick with the old ways. Sing a little louder, some said, and the bad spirits will go away. Pray a little harder, some said, and God will provide. Shout a little more, some said, and maybe someone out there will hear us. Close the doors and lock them tighter, some said, and we can keep any problems from coming in. Pretend the struggle isn't there, some said, and maybe it'll just go away. And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Prophets came in and out of the people's lives, urging the people to look deeply at themselves and deeply at the world, and not to miss out on what God was doing. Prophets are not always easy people to listen to, goodness knows. Some prophets had been there among the people all along, and some came from the outside. Still, the group of people held together, but still the questions itched and itched and itched, and the people grew sore and tired from scratching those questions. One day another prophet came among them and showed them a river. A muddy river at that. It was muddy with more questions. It was muddy with change. It was muddy with the aches and pains of the world. It was muddy with new ways of doing things. It was muddy with new songs to sing and new commitments to make. The river was muddy, and it didn't look like the rivers the people had always known. The river was muddy and cloudy and uncertain. And the people didn't really like the river that the prophet showed them. The people asked the prophet, "Why must you show us this river? It's muddy and it doesn't look like any river we have around here." The prophet smiled and told the people, "If you want comfort from your struggles, you need to bathe in this river. And not just once, you need to bathe in it again and again." The people, whose itches were irritated at the very thought of such a thing, responded with astonishment. "What? You want us to bathe in that water, muddy with doubts, cloudy with change, and cluttered with dangers we can't even imagine? You want us to swim into water that will cause us to look different than we've looked before?" Some people said, "We have our own ways and our own waters that are much cleaner than this. We have our own soap and our own expectations. We just need to go back to where we started, and all will be better." Some people said, "You prophets are always telling us to do things we don't want to do. Why can't you just preach a little better, or say the right words, or wave the right wand? Can't you just take the struggle away from us? If you want us to jump into the water, why can't it be water that's more comfortable?" And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. But some people stopped and thought, "Wait, if the prophets told us to do something hard, wouldn't we just jump up and do it? The prophets only asked us to wash, to dive into this water. Isn't it time to face the fact that our old rivers and our old ways won't do anymore? that the world has changed and the old rivers are running dry? Yes, the water is muddy. But if we all dive in together, we'll still have the most important thing we ever had. The others responded with looks of fear and concern. What will we have that we've always had, they asked. Each other, the people replied. And so, though it was not easy, they walked to the river's edge. Its waters were muddy, and truthfully, no one knew what would happen. They splashed into the river. They splashed in it again and again. And as they splashed, they did change. And as at first they couldn't see it happening, but as they splashed over and over, they finally saw themselves becoming fresh and beautiful. The itch went away, and somehow they knew that they would face itching struggles again, and uneasy questions would return. But somehow, they weren't afraid anymore. And who knows what the end of that story is? I don't. Perhaps we never do. And yet, through it all, God was good to them, even though they didn't always see how. I do know this much, whether they see it or not, God will be good to them in everything to come. God is one we can trust in the muddy waters of our lives, in the muddy waters of our world. God stands with us. As a reminder this morning, at the end of worship, if you'd like, don't drop it on the floor, but take a stone. A reminder, God is with us. Amen.
Let us say the affirmation of faith together. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equal in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator, ignoring God's commandments. We violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death of the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. Yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and bind us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church.
Now is the time in our service when we receive the gifts of tithes and offerings.